Your Bibles this afternoon to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading again this afternoon with verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Be looking this afternoon at the thought, may grow up into Him in all things. All things. Which is the head. The whom? The head. Even Christ. That we, keeping with the thoughts of verse 14 and 13 and 12 and so forth, that we may cease to be children. We're to cease from being children. Now, that is, of course, spiritual children. We would say we're adults. Well, some of us are adults. Some of us are still kids at heart, right? But we're talking about the spiritual man. We're to be no more children. We're to become men. Men in Christ.
Yes.
We're not there yet. But we're to be moving in that direction. As our verse implies, as the phrase this afternoon implies, may grow up into Him in all things. See, not just some things. Some things I think are doing pretty good at. But when I look at the broader picture, no. Got a lot of work. A lot of room yet for growth. Look at considering that thought that we might be cease to be children, that we might become men in Christ. Look at verse 7 through 10 again. I'm going back up a few verses. Quite a while ago we covered them. But unto every one of us, members of the Lord's church, he's speaking to the Ephesian church, members of the Ephesian church, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, according as Christ has measured it out. That's according to His purpose. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Sorry, ladies, you're left out. Right? Not so. You better investigate the Greek word for men here. It is a generic that has no regard for male or female. It is in reference to all human beings that are grown up, are men, or reaching adult status, shall we say. And therefore, Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, he said, watch ye, give strict attention to, pay strict attention to it. Not as a child. Pay strict attention. Stand fast. Stand firm. Persevere. Persist. Stand firm. Stand fast. Well, how do you want me to stand fast? God, how do you want me to stand fast? Like this. In the faith, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Quit you like men is one Greek word. And it means show yourself to be a man. Show yourself to be a man. Be strong as a man. Be strong. Show yourself to be a man. Who's he speaking to here? Is he speaking to just men? No, he's speaking to the church at Corinth. Yes. Women also. If they're members of the church. Show yourself to be a man in spirituality. In strength. We have a like phrase in the Hebrew, which quite possibly Paul being schooled in Hebrew, in the Hebrew ways and customs and the scriptures of that they had in that day, the books of Moses and the prophets. Isaiah 46. We have the same phrase as in other places. But Isaiah 46 and verse 8 conveys it real well. Remember this and show yourselves men. Show yourself to be a man. In further back in Deuteronomy, and so he said, be courageous and fear not. But there's a trait given to men. A trait of men in days gone past. I think that men have lost that trait today, that character. But in days bygone, men were said to be the backbone of the family. Backbone of the family. In other words, they were the strength. They were the stand fast. They were the protector and the guardian of the household. They were the backbone of the family. Show yourself to be men. That is like men of not only in strength and in being the quality of being able to stand firm, stand your ground. But as we think of it in terms of the spiritual, it's not as children, but like men of wisdom and understanding, and qualities which are not in children, but they are in adults, they are in men. And so that's what the phrase means here. Quit you like men. Show yourself to be a man and strengthen wisdom and understanding of the Word of God and ever learning, going on. You know, not just being content with where you're at, but pressing on. We call it the meat of the Word. You know, we've had some meat, but because we've had some meat and it's been really good, we want more. We want more. Now, in the physical realm, I don't understand how some people can be vegetarians. I mean, I love my meat. I mean, I've got to have meat, not a big portion, but I've got to have some meat. You know, at least one meal in the day. You know, and the idea ought to carry over into the spiritual realm. We get some meat, and we want more meat.
Amen.
And so it should be. Now let's continue reading here. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended? First into the lowest parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Fill all things. As we're thinking about his body, members in his body, you see, that he might fill all of us. How full? To the full. Fill. Now, what the word means, to full. I mean, till there's no more to be had, to be accomplished. Boy, I want that.
Amen.
Don't you want that?
Amen.
I mean, that ought to be the desire of our hearts. That ought to be the desire of every church member. To want to be filled full, you see. And so that correlates with our thoughts. That we may grow up into Him in all things. That we might be filled as Christ. As Christ. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'm not like Christ yet. I wished I was. I wished I was, but then I wouldn't be here, would I? So, but you get the idea and the thoughts. That ought to be the desire upon every one of our hearts. That we would be like Christ. It is an increase. It is an increase in the exercising of our faith. Think about that.
Yes.
Oh, I have faith. I'm trusting in the Lord. Well, what about that obstacle that came in the way? How did you handle it? Did you trust the Lord in that? Did you trust the Lord? Well, after a sort, I did. We usually mean after time, you know. After I finally figured out, hey, I need to trust the Lord. You know, I can't handle this. So an increase in the exercising of our faith. Increase in hope. Hope. That is The expectation of His appearing. How many, let's show you about your hope and my hope. I'll tell you right now, I'm guilty. How many of you got up this morning and immediately thought, this could be the day the Lord comes? Where's your hope? Yeah, see, Brother Ron does some days. But he's confessing in that not every day. You see?
Where's our hope? And we say, and we sing about it, and we love it, and it's glorious. And usually when we part, we say, well, we'll see you Sunday, next Sunday, Lord willing. If He's willing, and if He doesn't come back before then. And if He does, we'll see you in the air. Yeah. Is that our hope? I think about that hope that we are to have in Christ Jesus. And really, if that got hold of us and was living with us each and every day, I mean each and every moment of every day, how it would transform our day. Transform our life. This is the very moment the Lord might come back. He could come back before I got done with this task. He could come back before I finished this sentence. What do you think about that?
Well, I think we'd find that would stir us to more holiness and righteousness, wouldn't it?
Well, love. You see, all these things are in Christ.
Amen.
Love.
Well, I have agape because the Bible says I do. Because that's what God had for me. That's what Christ had for me when He died on the cross. He had agape. He had love. He had divine love.
And Romans 5:5 tells me that it's shed abroad in my heart. So, yeah, I have it.
Well, you've heard me say time and time again, where's the exercise of it? Where's the exercise of it? There, and that falls back to faith. Again, Ephesians 5:6. Faith is what advantages you. Faith is what advantages me. Faith is what advantages you. But it says, which worketh by love. You see, so love is working. I know, we all know it. We've heard it over and over again. Love is an action. Love is an action. We say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. But then we backbite and devour. That's not love. That's not love. That's not agape. You see? No. This divine love is, we actually defer to someone else. We're nothing. I'm nothing. But Brother Ron, you're everything. You see. No, because you have love, you'll turn around and say, I'm nothing. But you're everything. You see, that's the way love is. It shrinks us down. We walk in, well, going back several verses in humility. Well, in all holiness. As Christ walked in humility. Spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge. Oh, and you understand that as we get a deeper and a fuller understanding of God's Word, it creates in us more faith, creates in us more love, creates in us a brighter expectation of His coming.
Yeah, amen.
in glory. You see how that works? It's a growth. It's a growth process. So that, and all of this is to be so that the Ephesian church, so that Grace Baptist Church may grow up to be men in Christ Jesus in all things. That is manifesting Christ-likeness in all things. Wow. Not arrived. Not arrived. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 28. In all things. You see, grow up in all things. Well, how is this going to take place in us? What's the responsibility of each and every one of us? It's the responsibility of the pastor to be growing in that area and endeavor, making an increase in Christ and in all things and in the things. And I constantly pray to the Lord that He might give me what is needful to, so that I can in turn give to you, so that we can all grow. You see, Matthew 28 in verse 20, the work of the church, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. How much? How many? All things. All things. Does that mean just the doctrines of grace and church truth? Does it mean the things concerning baptism? Concerning the Lord's Supper? Concerning how churches are organized and established? Does it mean being separate? Being separate from the world? We live in the world, but not of the world? So does it mean holiness and righteousness in our walk, in our path? You see, all things, what's what I've commanded, whatever's in here. Actually, it's been pointed out that the instructions that we have in the New Testament has more to say about living holy lives, righteous in Christ Jesus, than it does about the doctrines of grace, than it does any other subject. You see, He not only wanted us to be saved, but He wanted us to know how that we ought to walk in this life, in holiness. You get on that subject, and people today and for many years now have not wanted to hear about that. You know, maybe that's why so many pastors are just going to preaching on the doctrines of grace, and that's about all they preach. The doctrines of grace and some church truth along the way. But you have to wonder how much of that. Look with me at Matthew chapter 7. If we shun to declare the whole counsel of God, if we shun to teach and instruct the whole counsel of God, then we'll not be growing wise men. And wise men are essential. They're necessary. Look at verse 24 of the 7th chapter. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, I will liken him. Oh, I left something out. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Wise man. You see, we're to be wise men. We're to be building on the rock.
Amen.
Christ Jesus. And that involves becoming solid as the rock. How solid is that? Well, it's not sinking sand.
Amen.
That's solid. You see. Deuteronomy. And he tried to teach this principle to his people Israel. But they would none of his. But look what he said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And look at verse 32. Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Sounds like just some of what we've been instructing in the New Testament, huh? Yeah, where'd it come from? Come from God. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you. How many of the ways? All the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that ye may be that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. You want a good life? You want a good life? Well, yeah, that's why I'm working so hard. So I can have the good life. Well, you better be working hard in the things of the Lord.
Yes.
And all pleasing to Him. You see, that you might have the good life. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. In this land. And the land was a wicked land. Canaan land was a wicked land. I mean, you turn back to Leviticus in chapter 19, I think it is, and you read some of the goings on there. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes. You see, fear. Fear of the Lord our God will stir us to keep all His commandments. To keep His statutes. And His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged.
Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Don't just know it. Don't just read about it. But observe to do it. That it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You can't serve Him and anyone else. There's only one Lord. There's only one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. How much of you does the Lord want? He wants all of you. He wants all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. He wants it on Him always. Only on Him. And it gives us an explanation of that. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. It's got to be in the heart, as we were saying this morning. Faith is in the heart. And then what happens if it's in the heart? Well, we make confession of it. And we, our actions confess it, too. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. You'll teach and instruct your children. This morning we had the idea and the thought that the whole families of rebellious men were destroyed. Another example was in Joshua's day, and Achan had sinned and taken that what he wasn't supposed to take, supposed to be utterly destroyed, and Achan and all his was destroyed.
Yes.
Because rebellion's in the family. Achan, Korah, Nathan, Abiram. They weren't teaching their families to do the commandments of the Lord. They were teaching their families rebellion. And so it was going to breed a rebellious house. And they were destroyed. So teach them thy children, diligently to thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. See what getting them in the heart does? It governs your life. It rules your life when they're in your heart. When they're in the heart, you don't get away from them. It permeates every aspect of your life. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. In other words, you learn them, you get them in the heart, and it will govern what you do. You see, Israel didn't get that principle. They practice taking to the left hand and arm, and actually attaching a scroll with these things to it. But they never learn that you got to get them in the heart, you get them in the heart, and it governs what you do. You'll only do the commandments of God. You won't do that which is displeasing to Him. And they shall be as frontless between thine eyes. I mean, they'll be right there in front of your eyes. And what's that do? Well, that's what I see. That's what I do. That's guiding my path, the path that I go. So we only go in righteous paths. We go in the ways of the Lord.
and the ways that He has instructed us in. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates.
People go by and they're going to say, a strange family lives there, because they don't do like we do. They might be Christian. Why, I think they're Christians. They lived as those Jesus people do.
You see? Yes? Our household will be known by our practice and by our children and the lives in which they live. And these things are necessary. They're necessary to spiritual growth. And spiritual growth enables us to do what? Enables us to stand. Doesn't it? Enables us to do Ephesians 6:14. And I can go ahead and refer to that, because it's going to be a long time before we get to chapter 6 and verse 14. Look at verse 14 of chapter 6. Stand. Stand fast. Stand firm. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. How much truth? Just the doctrines of grace. Right? Well, I got the doctrines of grace. I believe the truth. I believe in the total depravity of man. I believe in election. God choosing before the foundation of the world. Why, I believe in limited atonement. Particular redemption. Irresistible grace.
Perseverance and preservation of the saints.
I believe in that. Well, brother, there's more truth than just that. You're just in the elementary things. You're in the fundamental things
of the Word of God.
And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. Breastplate.
Oh, righteousness is next to my heart. Righteousness is guarding my heart. Why? Because I have righteousness in my heart. You see.
So my walk is in righteousness and holiness. Well, we got enough time to get the rest? Yeah, we do.
He said, which is the head? You see, that we may grow up into Him in all things. Who's the Him?
The head, he says. Which is the head? The Him is the head. Well, who's the head?
Even Christ. Even Christ.
Christ Jesus is the head. He's the head of each of His churches. He was the head of the Ephesian church. He was the head of the Corinthian church. He's the head of the Grace Baptist church. Not me. Not Brother Ron. Christ is the head. We're just members in His body. You see, Christ is the head. We had that in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Hope you got that when we covered it. And I put all things under Him, His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. All things concerning the church, He is the head over.
Amen.
And more. You see, chapter 5, and it's going to be quite a while before we get to
This verse also.
Chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body.
Praise God. I'm glad he's the head. I'm glad he's the savior of the body. I'm glad he gave his life for the church. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 concerning Jesus Christ. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's the preeminent one. Why? Because he's the head. Why? Why is he the head? Because he's the savior of the body. He's the one that was God manifest in the flesh, that humbled himself to be a man and submitted himself to the death of the cross. Why? For me. For you. For his body, the church. He gave his life. The body gets its instructions from the head, and therefore is to be subject to the head. We're supposed to be subject to Christ? Yeah, we're supposed to be subject to Christ. Back to the fifth chapter of Ephesians, verse 24. Therefore, why for? Because Christ is the head and he's the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, this church and every other church of the Lord is to be subject. They're to be in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Church is subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. The measure, get this, this is a quote. It's a quote by Oscar B. Mink. He said, the measure of our subjection, the measure of our subjection will be the portion of strength we possess. I thought that was really good. Had to think about it a while. And every time I read it, I still got to think about it. But it's good. The measure of our subjection will be the portion of strength we possess. Let me put it in terms of that the Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul to put it. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 9. And he said unto me, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, Christ's strength, is made perfect in weakness. Yeah. Because I'm weak, know nothing and can do nothing, I submit to him. And I'm strong through him.
Amen.
I'm strong through him. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. In verse 5. I am the vine. I am the vine, Christ said. You, church, are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, without the vine, the branches can do nothing.
Amen.
For without me, ye can do nothing. Yeah, that makes common sense, doesn't it?
Amen.
Those branches on a tree out there can do nothing without the trunk and the roots thereof. We can do nothing without Christ, our vine. You see? So, Paul said this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do nothing of myself. I am nothing. I know nothing. And I confess that to the Lord quite often, especially when I sit down to study. Lord, I can do nothing. I know nothing. Therefore, I need you to open my understanding. Give me wisdom that I might understand the truth of your word. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We'll stop there today. Next week, Lord willing, we'll go on with verse 16.